This episode is brought to you by Airy Living.
It's March, and that means it's time for a spring clean.
I genuinely look forward to this moment every year. I will purposefully set aside a weekend to clear out the house. There's just no feeling like it.
And nothing says spring clean like a new candle. Or is that just me?
100p on the same page. What is the point of clearing out if you can't treat yourself with a new candle afterwards? New season, new scent, I say.
Okay, so if this conversation speaks to your spring clean soul as much as ours, or you're looking for the perfect candle to give you that cozy reading vibe, then you are going to fall head over heels for this month's gorgeous sponsor, Airy Living.
I feel a sense of well-being just by looking at their website. Their aesthetic is so chic, but just wait until you smell their candles.
They have three dreamy collections to choose from. If, like me, you're looking for a candle to light that's going to boost your mood on a Monday morning or fight off the Sunday scaries, then their aromatherapy collection is going to be the one for you.
Or if you're looking to embrace a bit more of Mother Nature, then head to their botanical collection for scents rich and citrusy or velvety and sweet.
What's more is they are a company you can be proud to invest your money with. Produced out of the UK, Airy use 100% vegan wax. Their oils are free from nasty oils and GMOs, and their packaging is plastic free and fully recyclable.
Oh, and let's not forget that they plant a tree with every order. These will make such thoughtful presents for you or for a loved one, and you can use code RECOS25 for 25% off.
Just head to the link in our bio or our Instagram stories to shop. Thank you, Airy Living. Welcome to Book Recos Between the Pages.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're the pals behind Book Recos.
This is the podcast where we chat all things books and just about everything.
Today we are diving into a book trope that's the tale as old as time and we just can't get enough of it.
Oh yes, it's the will they won't they plot that we all know how it ends, but we just keep coming back for more. So let's dive into Enemies to Lovers.
Before we start, I have to tell you about my dream, and I know I don't do dream stories.
I was literally about to say, should I just stop recording here, or everyone else could just fast forward 30 seconds on their podcast?
But it's reading retreat related, so I feel like it's safe to talk about on the podcast.
We'll allow.
Someone messaged the other day saying, "Can I check if men can book onto the retreat?"
Right.
Which has clearly like left a nugget in my brain, and the response to that is, we haven't explicitly said no men, but 95% of our followers are women, so we don't need to say that. And also, if a man did book, like, we welcome anyone and everyone.
Yeah,
we would just make sure that the rooming situations are okay for that, so that no one's having to share with someone of the different gender.
Absolutely.
So,
and someone booked with their boyfriend last year and he was great, wasn't he?
He just became the group's photographer, he read the book beforehand. We loved him.
Yeah.
So and they had their own room, so look, if you want to come with your boyfriend, that is fine. You'll just be booked into a private room so that no one else has to share a room with your boyfriend. So anyway, this is all in my head. And in my dream, well, nightmare last night, we're at the reading retreat. It's obviously in a totally different location because as is the way in dreams.
Yeah.
So many fucking people there. Half of them are men. Don't know any of them. Didn't know they had booked.
Did but they had crash booked. Or? Oh, but they had booked.
We just didn't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's trying to tell you.
And then, oh my God, I've just remembered.
Go on.
Kind of towards the end of the reading retreat, kind of discovered that a lot of them are musicians. We had two people brought their clarinets. Someone brought their violin. We had a drummer who then was like, I could do saucepans. And then we basically started like a marching band. And I was like, let me film this for stories. Now I actually want that to happen.
I should have led with that bit because that is fucking brilliant. I wonder if it's because Marcus, who when he showed us around the retreat, was like sort of tapping into music, and he was like,
well, it used to be a music festival space, didn't it?
Yeah.
Marcus would love it. Okay, so look, if you're coming to the reading retreat and you play the clarinet, bring it. pack it in your bag.
And on that note, there are still a few rooms and spaces remaining. So if you're thinking about it, this is your sign to book on.
Yeah, especially if you play a woodwind instrument.
if you play steel pans, we'll actually give you a free spot.
I'll join you there. Yeah. We don't have any steel pans. You must bring that with you. Okay. Anyway,
enemies
enough
to
dream stories. Welcome back if you did skip the dream. Enemies to lovers, but I thought it would be fun for maybe people that aren't firstly into romance, firstly understand what like tropes are.
Yeah.
We should just run through some of the romance tropes out there.
Tramps. Yeah.
That's a romance trope, tramp. So I Googled it a bit to be like, how many are there? Because I was trying to think of them in my head. And then I was like, shitting hell, there are so many. So these are, I think, the top ones.
Okay.
So first up, we've got, obviously, love triangle.
Classic. Love it.
Yeah. Can't go wrong. And I think that's kind of like an example would be One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Mm. Yeah. You're so good at doing that on the spot.
Well, let's see. I've got a whole list here. I might not be able to hold them.
Let's challenge you. Yeah.
Okay.
Next one.
Fake relationship.
Oh, is there a Tia Williams fake relationship? No.
No. There is on my list what Tia Williams books fits.
Okay.
Okay. Go Opposites on. Attract.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Beth O'Leary?
Are they opposites?
Like really quirky character in...
Well, that is actually on my next one, Forced Proximity, The Fletcher. And the road trip.
Oh, nice. I do love a forced proximity. I think that's like, it's a spicy one, isn't it?
Yeah, I like fake relationship a lot. Which is, Love and Other Scams. That book we read where
they
like pretend to be in a relationship so that they can start robbing people. Like that a lot.
Yeah. And we were chatting that just never happens in real life. How many people do you know that enter into fake relationships? But yeah, it's such a common trope.
But maybe we don't know because they're faking so well.
Very true. Actually, it's probably all celebrities, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, next one. Mistaken Identity, which makes for such a stressful and incredible reading experience.
Like, they go on a date and say it's a blind date and they start talking and they don't realise that they're with the wrong person.
Yeah, or there's definitely a Sophie Kinsella book where it happens. I can't remember what one it is. Maybe it's like The Undomestic Goddess or something where she's got a job because Lizzie, someone, The Summer Job. You know where she does that job pretending to be like a wine connoisseur, but actually she doesn't know anything about wine?
Yes.
That kind
great
of storyline.
Reference. That's such a great book as well.
Yeah, love that. Makes like for such a tense and fun reading experience, but it's really stressful. Okay, Forbidden Love.
Great.
And that's, I think, Tia Williams.
Tia Williams.
It's her boss's son.
How not to have an arranged marriage. There's that story.
Yes. Yeah. Then I didn't even think about this, but Friends to Lovers. Such a classic. It's Monica and Chandler.
Classic. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. How could we forget? And then, of course, Enemies to Lovers.
Here we are.
Which we're going to dive into. And also, there are so many more, but I just picked out the top ones. Because also, some of them kind of doubled up. Like, one of them was, like, Sunshine versus Angry Man. And I was like, well, that's Opposites Attract.
Just different name.
Okay. Enemies to Lovers.
A personal fave. Because like we say, we all know how this storyline ends, but we're in it. So let's first start with the book and then maybe we'll start chatting about why we love it so much, despite its predictability. So this one's publishing in April and it's How to End a Love Story by Yulin Kwang. And here is the snop. Helen Zhang is the best-selling author who can't write her own happy ever after. Love it already. Grant Shepherd is the screenwriter with the movie star looks who can't afford his therapist. When the two of them are put together to adapt Helen's books for television, it should be a dream come true. Helen can't can start a new life in Hollywood, and Grant can pay his mortgage. Only Grant Shepherd is the last person that Helen wanted to see again. She's never forgiven him for what happened 13 years ago, so no one is more surprised than her when sparks begin to fly between them in the writer's room. Their history is messy, their attraction is inescapable, and soon they're both in too deep. This wasn't meant to be a love story, but aren't the best endings the ones you never saw coming?
We saw it coming.
Or in this case, we definitely saw coming.
I liked the whole writer's room element of this a lot. Took me back to Romantic Comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld, which is about
to come out. You're right. I like it when the character, particularly the male character, has like, he's a little bit complex. There's like a little bit more to him than what meets the eye. And that's definitely the case of Grant Shepherd in this scenario. Do you think we can, like, we find out right at the beginning of the book.
I was going to say, let's talk about why they hate each other, because it's literally on the first page.
Yeah. Okay. So, not so spoiler alert, Grant Shepherd kills Helen's sister when they're in high school.
Yeah.
Or, well, that's how it first appears, right?
Yeah. But actually, Helen's sister was looking for a way to unalive herself. And steps in front of Grant's car. So actually, she's fucked up Grant's life as well. But obviously, her family are like, this man kills our daughter.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, our daughter also fucked up this guy's life.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's why this, like, will they, won't they, enemies to lovers. You're like, Jesus Christ, she's going to have to come overcome some serious morals to get with this guy. So I think that's the... like, believable part to the story of, like, okay, you're going to have to do some magic on the page here to make this believable.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you believe it?
I believed some and I didn't believe some. So Helen has, like, some friends back home, but, like, not really any, like, close friends. And then she joins this writer's room and she's a bit closed off and doesn't bond with people that much. And... what I didn't buy in this book is how close she becomes with some of the other women in the writer's room. I'm like, I don't understand where this suddenly came from. Like, why would they need you, who's apparently really boring, to be their friend? Like, I don't think they're inviting you.
I didn't get, like, the sex appeal that came from Helen.
No.
And this book, it starts very, like, PG, and it escalates fairly quickly to, like, a spicy romance, right? Mm. I just didn't believe that Grant, like, found her, like, the most enigmatic and sexy human being, and, like, just needed to rip her clothes off.
Yeah, maybe it's because he's so tortured.
Yeah, and maybe he was, like,
situation.
Yeah,
you know?
And if we were to, like, really therapize him, like we tend to do on this podcast, he is actually, he thinks if he can win Helen over, he can, like, settle his own demons of killing her sister.
Yeah, if he rips Helen's clothes off, his bad deed is fine.
Yeah. Give her a good shag and they're all fine.
Yeah. However, I did believe their relationship. I did believe that he liked her. Like, I didn't understand why, but the way it was written, I was like, yeah, he really likes her and she really likes him and knows that she can't, and because of her parents and blah, 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 blah. And I guess it's also because they're both in LA, but they're both from the same town. On the East Coast. And so it's just like something about being in a completely different place with someone from your childhood. Like, I get that is going, like, to play
comfort
into it as well.
There. Yeah. And also, this is kind of the opposites attract storyline as well, because they couldn't appear more different in terms of, like, their approach to life and their, like
they
Grant's
weren't students.
Really put him.
Because he was a jock and she was a nerd, if you're going to categorize them.
Exactly. But then when they do start this kind of relationship, you can see how they actually complement each other really well. Like, he needs some of her, like, sort of reassuring, calming presence. And she needs some of his, you know, zest for life and fun and, you know, not always worrying about what other people are going to think. So that I found believable. Yeah, you're right. The relationship itself I found believable.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be a spicy book.
No, neither was I.
I was like, oh, I'm on the train. God, I feel like I'm going to have my book open.
I was reading it when I was in a room with like my mum and my boyfriend watching telly, and I was like, this feels really dirty. Like, yeah, they're just both here and I'm reading this absolutely filthy book. But get this, Jess. So no wonder Yulin Kwang has written a story about screenwriting and like a book adaptation process, because she's actually a screenwriter herself, and she's adapting one of your favorite authors, Emily Henry's People We Meet on Vacation. And she's also the writer and director for Beach Read.
Checks out. Well, she did thank Emily Henry in her acknowledgements.
Did she? I didn't read them.
Yeah. You know me, I'm always there. And actually, I was going to shout out Emily Henry because I haven't read all of her books, but in both Book Lovers and Happy Place, the ones I have read, it's enemies to lovers.
So she is just thirsty for an enemies to lovers story.
Yeah, she fucking loves it. And she does it really well. I've talked about both books on here before, but in Book Lovers, they're two people that both work in the publishing world and they just like have such a rivalry. And then in Happy Place, it's a couple that used to be engaged and broke up. And then it's forced proximity and enemies to lovers.
That is great.
Yeah.
I love it when an author writes what they know. Like in this case, Yulin Kwang has written about screenwriting and book adaptation because that's what she does. And Emily Henry writes about the publishing process. Like, I just love it because it feels so much more believable because they know the job so well and the process so well.
And you're reading it almost like, oh, I'm getting a little behind the scenes in how an adaptation works or how a writer's room works. Or and I really enjoy these sorts of things. It's why I read the acknowledgements, behind the scenes shit.
Yeah,
So yeah, as Lauren said, this comes out in April. And I think if you're into enemies to lovers, sexy books, this is one for you.
Defo.
And actually, right, on sexy books.
Go on.
I'll move us on to our next one. I'm pretty sure I've spoken about this series on the podcast before, but I'm going to highlight one of the books here. So this is the Brown Sisters trilogy by Talia Hibbert. And they're books that you don't have to read in order. They're standalone books.
Amazing.
But it's about three different sisters. So each book is for a different sister. You might as well read them all, and you might as well read them in the right order, which is Chloe, Danny, Eve. Which will make sense when you see the covers.
So which one is this one?
This is Eve. This is Act Your Age, Eve Brown, which is the third book, which is Enemies to Lovers. And actually, that list that I read out at the beginning, the first book is Opposites Attract and the second book is Fake Relationship. So honestly, at this, I actually think that Talia Hibbert should go through my whole list of tropes and write one for each, because I'd absolutely fucking read it. She smashes them out of the park. Before I go any further, I will read the synopsis of Act Your Age, Eve Brown. Eve Brown is a certified hot mess. No matter how hard she strives to do right, her life always goes horribly wrong. So she's given up trying. But when her personal brand of chaos ruins a wedding, her parents draw the line. It's time for Eve to grow up and prove herself, even though she's not entirely sure how. Jacob Wayne is always in control. The uptight B&B owner expects nothing less than perfection from his employees. So when a purple-haired tornado of a woman applies for his open chef position, he tells her the brutal truth. Not a chance in hell. Then she sits him with her car. Oh, then she hits him with her car. Sorry. I'm really sorry. Yeah, twice in one episode. supposedly by accident. Now his arm is broken, his B&B is understaffed, and the dangerously unpredictable Eve is fluttering around trying to help. Before long, she's infiltrated his work, his kitchen, and his spare bedroom. Sunny, chaotic Eve is his natural-born nemesis, but the longer these two enemies spend in close quarters, the more their animosity turns into something else. So we actually also have Opposites Attract and Forced Proximity and Enemies to Lovers. We fucking love it.
That is, if you're looking to dive into this topic, this is where you start.
This whole series.
Does she have purple hair, did you say?
Yeah.
Great, so quirky.
Yeah.
We love it.
And actually, that's something that Talia Hibbert does really well. She like writes really inclusively. And I'm pretty sure it's Chloe in the first book. Like, she has a chronic illness. Danny in the second book is bisexual. And like, I like that Talia Hibbert makes sure that other people can find themselves in her books.
That's great.
Extremely sexy books.
Is it YA? I think I've always just assumed this was what this series was YA.
I don't think teenagers should read some of the series.
Yeah. Because I didn't know they were like super sexy. So when, yeah, I guess it's definitely not what I hate then.
No. It's A. Mm. And yeah, they're really fun, really quick reads. And she does it really well. Like, as I said,
yeah.
If she, I mean, she incorporates a lot of tropes in this one, but should, if she did Friends to Lovers, I'd be there. If she did, I mean, well, she's done that. I was about to say Fake Relationship, but yeah, like I'll read any romance she writes because she does it well. She hits the tropes in a way that's not
TikTok-y.
Trite.
Is that yeah. the word? Trite, yeah. That's the word. Yeah.
No, trite tropes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There we go.
And it was fun to kind of be in that B&B setting, which I feel like is a romantic space as well, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And speaking of B&Bs, that brings us on to our next one so perfectly, which is Beth O'Leary's latest book, which we interviewed her about last year and is so worth mentioning. It is The Wake Up Call.
Out in paperback on the day of us recording this.
Interesting. Yeah. What's the paperback look like? I haven't seen it. Is it same. The same?
Same, yeah. Well
so
done,
we
Beth.
Know she's done well.
Yep.
Well done, Beth. Well done.
I mean, we don't need to fully dive into it because we interviewed her.
No, and go back to that episode because we do talk to her about like tropes, don't we, and how like love stories like this where you know what's going to happen, why we find that so compelling to read about even though we know what's going to happen. It was really interesting to get her perspective on that. So that
and she loves forced proximity.
She fucking loves it.
Yeah. Okay, and then my next one, I thought this is such an obvious one, but equally I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast, especially not since the I think it's on Amazon Prime, adaptation has come out. And this is like the Enemies to Lovers book. It's Red, White and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. I've never said her name out loud before, so McQuiston. And you'll have seen this book in places, but I will drop the synopsis. What happens when America's first son falls in love with the Prince of Wales? Alex Claremont-Diaz is a handsome, charismatic genius, pure millennial marketing gold for the White House ever since his mother first became President of the United States. There's only one problem. When the tabloids get hold of a photo involving an altercation between Alex and Prince Henry, US-British relations take a turn for the worse. Heads of family and state devise a plan for damage control, stage a truce. But what begins as a fake Instagrammable friendship grows deeper and more dangerous than either Alex Ooh. Or Henry could have imagined. Soon they are hurtling into a secret romance that could derail the presidential campaign and upend two nations. Like, it's
high stakes.
Such a good plot. A gay prince and a gay son of a woman president. And he's also of like Latin descent, so they're like also a minority, double minority president, like a lot at stake there. And I remember I read this during the election.
Oh, cool.
For I'm guessing
Biden.
Yeah, because this was a bit, yeah, this would have been 2020, and now I'm fucking talking about that again when in another election year. My god, we weren't not diving into that. But I thought the book, I loved the premise. I loved seeing how it played out. I thought it was really good. There's lots of like secrets in it. It's not groundbreaking. I know some people really, really love it, but I don't like, it's highly enjoyable. The adaptation.
Oh, yeah.
I have really mixed views on.
Go on.
Because I loved it and I'm so glad it got adapted and it was a fun watch, but some of it was like, oh, like they're in a club in one scene and I remember now, Get Low is playing. So Thanks. Everybody's they're getting low in the club and the two men see each other from across the club because they haven't gotten low. And I was like, this is not hitting the way that you think it might. This isn't coming across as highly romantic chemistry. This is like, fucking hell, they're spotting each other whilst everyone else is getting low in the club.
This is hilarious. And to take it back to How to End a Love Story, I now really want to know how that scene came about in the writer's room.
What scene in the writer's room?
like how this scene for the film
I see what you mean.
Came about in the writer's room. We're like, how did they workshop that? How did they land on that?
Yeah, did they do it
like,
as a joke?
This is how we did. Yeah, it must have been a joke. And then someone was like, fuck it, let's just try it and see if it works.
Yeah.
So are they both openly gay, or is that also part of the storyline that, it's
the Prince,
a secret?
As you might imagine, not openly gay.
Yeah, okay. I did.
Classic Brits. I'm pretty sure her son is.
Okay. Okay, so then
now,
there's that like tension as well of like one of them is confident in their sexuality and the other isn't.
Yeah.
Oi, oi, oi. This is kind of worms.
It's really, I mean, it's also, it's enemies lovers, but it's also forbidden love and opposites attract.
Literally, yeah.
I actually don't know if you can have one trope without any others. Like, because I feel like if you are enemies, it's probably because there's another thing at play here.
Yeah.
Or you need the close proximity to become lovers. Like, I feel like there's always, I'm now never going to read a romance book just for the enjoyment. I'm going to be analysing it the whole way through.
Yeah, Jess is going to do a dissertation on...
Picking off my tropes. Okay. So, yeah, another very fun one. Over to you, Lauren. Have you got another?
Yes. Yeah, so we can't talk about love stories in any capacity, I don't think, without talking about Colleen Hoover. So
it's been a while.
It has been a while, which is why I thought she deserved it. So this one is Ugly Love. And here's the synop. Attraction at first sight can be messy. When Tate Collins finds airline pilot Miles Archer passed out in front of her apartment door, it is definitely not love at first sight. Okay, so that's not the trope here. They wouldn't even go so far as consider themselves friends. So it's not friends to lovers. But what they do have is an undeniable mutual attraction. He doesn't want love and she doesn't have time for a relationship, but their chemistry cannot be ignored. Once their desires are out in the open, they realize that they have the perfect setup, as long as Tate can stick to the two rules. Never ask about the past and don't expect a future. Tate is determined that she can handle it, but when she realizes she can't, will she be able to say no to her sexy pilot when he lives just next door? So, I mean, I do love a Colleen Hoover, will they, won't they? And this one actually starts like she's in a breakup, and so she moves in with her brother, and her brother and this guy Miles are airline pilots together. And it starts with like a big argument between her and Miles because she's never met Miles before, and he's like passed out in front of her brother's door and like is an absolute mess, and he is confused why she's there. So they start, like, tensions are high when it starts, and as you can imagine, they start off as like just using each other for, I was going to say like friends with benefits, but they're not even friends. It's just benefits. But just like with How to End a Love Story, what I liked about Miles's character is he's like a really complex character, and he like doesn't want to talk about his past. You can tell like something quite traumatic happened in his past. And that's like, yeah, I think Colleen Hoover has just got such a good way of like giving you a psychoanalysis of all her characters. Like, they're deep. They're not surface level.
Yeah, well, this is what I was going to ask. Like, my records of Red, White and Royal Blue and the Brown Sisters trilogy are like, I mean, there are deep moments to them, but I would say they are like fun, light romances mostly. And I feel like that's different to how Colleen Hoover does romance.
Yeah,
is that
definitely.
True?
Definitely. It is like very dramatic writing.
Yes. That is the
always
difference. Drama. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the drama. And it is like the emotional heartstrings are pulled in a way that feels much more like catastrophic than in like lighthearted romance books. She wants to leave you with a scar is essentially what she's doing here. And she does it so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really need another book from her in my life.
I was thinking this the other day because I'm still on my Kristen Hannah path. And I was thinking, gosh, I wonder what Colleen Hoover's doing, because I feel like Lauren's done a lot of her backlist now.
Yeah,
so like...
I think she's writing a new thriller series.
Oh, okay.
I think it comes out one comes out next year, could be wrong, but it's a three-part series that has been signed.
Yeah,
but
and side note,
yeah,
it ends with us. They were filming, then they weren't filming, but then I feel like I've seen more clips of them
yeah,
filming
same.
Again. What's
And
going
also
on?
It's like absolutely disgusting, like wardrobe.
Yeah, well, I remember that's what everyone was like, what the fuck, because they saw what's her face, Blake Lively. And then I feel like they cancelled it, but now I'm seeing things again
same.
It's still filming in New York or whatever.
Yeah, same. I've seen like some newer clips, but
what's going
interesting. What is going on there? Did they get it so wrong that they're now trying to rectify, but it also looks still wrong? So who knows?
Yeah.
Be interested to see that one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just to round us off, I thought I'd do two more honorable mentions that I've talked about on the podcast before, but just whilst we're on the topic, I'll remind you of them. If you didn't listen to me the first time, you should read them. One of them is My Own Worst Enemy by Lily Linden. And this is the book about two women that are constantly at the same auditions because they look really similar. They've both got the same hair. They're both like dressing the same for these parts, and then they're like getting annoyed at each other, and then they end up realizing they're annoyed because there's chemistry. And then another one was A Lady's Guide to Fortune Hunting by Sophie Irwin, which is like Bridgerton Regency era, and it's a woman trying to save her family, so she's kind of a bit fake relationshipy as well, like trying to have a relationship with someone to steal their family's fortune to help her family, and like the brother really hates her, and maybe they get close, I don't know. Really enjoyed those as well. So if you're on an enemies to lovers train, add them to your carriage.
Love that analogy. Records galore, Jess.
Oh my god, galore.
If you enjoyed today's episode, like, subscribe, leave a rating and review. It costs you nothing, but it genuinely means the world to us.
And don't forget to share our podcast with your reading buddy, because they might like to listen as well. And if you don't already, then follow us on Instagram at BookRecos for, funnily enough, more book recommendations.
See you next week. We'll be here.